From the land of Grand Theodore City in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 31st day of October, Halloween. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. The statisticians will be here from USDA with updates on their regions in Indiana, Illinois, Iowa, and Minnesota. That's four of the top five corn-producing states in the nation. And we'll also check the agricultural news before we get to the end of our time together, when we'll take a look at the weather forecast with Don Day. He's a day weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, and we'll do that all right here on this edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
We're now joined by Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, to take a look at what happened in Chicago. Hey, Wayne, thanks for being with us for the afternoon.
Great to be here on a Tuesday afternoon, Todd.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what's been happening in the cash grain segment for the day. Soybeans tried to rally again, and then they just finished unchanged, a little blasé.
You know, mixed grain trade again, it's going to be a little bit of push on the beans, a little bit of minus on the corn. It's going to be very interesting to see if we can hold that 342 type mark in the December corn here, or whether we're going to break that and go on down here right now. You know, going into next week, we're looking for the possibility of a little higher corn yield and maybe a little lower bean yield going into the report next Thursday. So that's it. And we're over 80% done on the bean harvest, so farmers are starting to tuck the last little bit away. And we've seen the bean basis firming up over the last week.
Yeah, USDA, of course, released the numbers yesterday afternoon. What they show for corn, and I have a question about Iowa, too, as it relates to
I think we're about 43% done.
Yeah, so they're working hard on that corn crop.
Yeah.
And I made note, and we'll hear this in just a bit from the Iowa statistician, that they were harvesting maybe some better corn than they thought, that yields were better. And you suggested that next week that might show up in the USDA report. How likely do you think that'll be?
From what everybody is thinking, we're going to get Informa's numbers, I think, on Thursday about 10:30 Central Time, and another couple, three, will be out this week. And I think the most everybody's looking for a half bushel to bushel raise. Is that reality? We'll come see next week. But, I mean, it does look like the yields are coming in better than what everybody been expected in the corn.
And you suggested the soybean number might be coming down. Is that also because of Iowa and the dry conditions they suffered in August and September?
Yeah, I think that we saw some very varied yields. A lot of areas that were 5 to 8 bushel less than last year on the beans. And some of the areas out there, as we look through a lot, and I think that, that's going to be what's going on. The one thing that some people brought up to me when we've been talking about this is, will they maybe somewhat lower the corn acres, possibly raise the bean acres a little bit? I don't think we'll see that next week, but we might in the final report in January.
And, of course, they could do that anytime, and the end of the year, the January report might be a good one, or they could wait until we get to the fall of next year and the final numbers so they can even things out. What are you hearing out of South America as it relates to the Brazilian or Argentina crops?
Well, they're farther along than what they'd like us to believe in some cases, but there's been too dry in some areas, too wet in some areas, so it's still out there. But the Brazilian farmers are selling beans because the real has weakened up quite a bit versus the dollar, and they are finding it profitable, and they are selling some beans right now.
Dow Jones Industrial Average still is making new highs all the time, above 23,000. That's good news.
That's very good news. You know, a little bit of it sort of went back a little bit when they were talking about the indictments, but the attack that might slow down the tax breaks. But I think the tax breaks are still hanging in out there and are probably going to be, try to get done by the end of the year. Whether we can get that done or not, I don't know. But we are relying on that a little bit for the euphoria in the stock market.
And speaking of things that are happening in Washington, D.C., we'll hear this in the Ag News. More and more of the agricultural industry groups are fearful that NAFTA may be pulled by the Trump administration.
Boy, that's one of the last things we want to hear, and we want to be sending some letters, phone calls and emails on into our representatives or even straight into Trump, because that is very beneficial as far as the farmer is concerned. There are some other things that, we have let some jobs go to Mexico and a few things along the way, but it's very much a good thing. you know, Mexico and Canada are two of our biggest trading partners as far as agricultural products go.
Hey, Wayne, thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
That's Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Buy your tickets right now online, willag.org, farmassetsconference.com, or during regular business hours, 800-898-1065, 800-898-1065. The cost is just $35. That includes parking in the deck at the Normal Illinois Marriott Hotel and Conference Center, along with the day's meal and all of the assets conference sessions, including one on precision conservation management. That's about how you use the economics of different types of production field work in your operations, and includes cover crops, no-till, extra tillage passes, what works and what doesn't. Gary Schnitke will be there. You should be as well. We'll also have 7 regular commodity analysts with us to talk about the price of corn and soybeans. And, of course, we'll take a look at the weather forecast with Eric Snodgrass's AgriBolt. The Farm Assets Conference is Tuesday, the 21st day of November. The cost is $35 in Normal, Illinois. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows that as of Sunday, 54% of the corn crop around the nation, or at least the 18 reporting states, has been harvested. The rolling 5-year average is 72%. The crop is still in pretty good condition. That's actually 50% good and 16% excellent. Soybeans harvested now stands at 83%. The rolling 5-year average is 84%. And the wheat crop is now 84% sown in the 18 reporting states. The rolling 5-year average is 87%. 65% of that crop is up or emerged. The 5-year average is 66%. It is in 4% very poor, 8% poor, 36% fair, and 43% good condition, with 9% of the winter wheat crop in excellent condition. Now here are the state statisticians from the Midwest with updates from their regions.
This is Brad Medlock, agricultural statistician for USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service. A mostly dry week allowed Iowa farmers to progress their harvest with 5.4 days suitable for field work during the week ending October 29, 2017. Activities for the week included harvesting corn for grain and soybeans, spreading manure, applying fertilizers, hauling grain, and starting fall tillage. Nearly a quarter of the corn for grain crop has been harvested this past week, reaching 44% complete, but it still remains nearly 2 weeks behind the 5-year average. Moisture content of corn being harvested for grain averaged 19%. East Central and Southeast Iowa are the only districts to have over 50% of their corn for grain crop harvested. There were several reports of corn yields being better than expected. However, excessive winds this past week has caused lodging in the fields. Corn condition rated 66% good to excellent. 83% of the soybean crop was harvested, 6 days behind average. Southwest, South Central, and Southeast Iowa still has a third or more of their soybean crop to harvest. Pasture condition remained unchanged from last week at 35% good to excellent. Livestock conditions were reported as normal, with few reports of cattle and fields feeding on Stover. That is the Iowa Weekly Crop Progress and Condition Report. I am Brad Medlock, agricultural statistician for USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Last week's weather was cool and wet across the prairie state. Producers were able to move forward with harvesting corn and soybeans, planting winter wheat, and also tilling and fertilizing. There was an average of 4.6 days suitable for field work around Illinois last week, and temperatures were 6 to 7 degrees below normal. Rainfall was above normal in most locations. The state averaged slightly more than 1 inch of rain last week, 1/2 inch above normal. Soil temperatures on Sunday ranged from the upper 30s to the mid-40s. Soybean harvest advanced by 9 points and is now 86% complete. That is steady with the 5-year average. Corn harvest is now 73% finished, compared to 90% last year and 84% normally. 76% of wheat acres have been planted, compared to 83% 1 year ago and 79% normally. 54% of acres have emerged compared to 51% normally. The condition of the winter wheat crop is rated 14% very poor to poor, 27% fair, and 59% good to excellent. Sorghum harvest is now 74% finished, compared to 72% 1 year ago and 79% normally. Pasture conditions improved from last week and were rated 26% very poor to poor, 46% fair, and 28% good to excellent. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, reminding all farmers and ranchers that the Census of Agriculture is coming this December.
This is Dan Loftus, state statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, with the weekly crop progress and condition report for the week ending October 29, 2017. Wintry conditions arrived in Minnesota during the week, but despite the weather, farmers were able to harvest nearly one quarter of the corn for grain acreage. Farmers took advantage of the 4.8 days suitable for field work, almost finishing harvest of potatoes, soybeans, and sugar beets. Other field activities for the week included ditch and fence maintenance, fertilizer and manure application, and fall tillage. Corn for grain harvest was in full swing at 38% complete. That's 15 days behind the 5-year average and 12 days behind last year. Corn moisture content of grain at harvest averaged 20%. Corn condition rated 82% good to excellent. 95% of the soybean acreage had been harvested. Advancing 28 percentage points from the previous week, 79% of the sunflower acreage was harvested. Potato harvest was 97% complete, and sugar beets were 98% lifted, surpassing last year's and average pace. Pasture condition rated 47% good to excellent. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
This is Janice Pressberry with the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service with the Indiana Crop and Weather Report. Wet and cold weather conditions slowed harvest progress. As a result of dry conditions before the rain, harvest was not delayed for long. Soybean harvest is winding down with some reports of completion. Farmers have shifted their focus to corn with the majority of soybeans already harvested. Despite lower than normal temperatures, recent rainfall has helped promote growth of winter wheat and cover crops. Pastures have also benefited from the rain, but there have been reports of dormancy due to unseasonably cool weather. Corn was 59% harvested compared to 74% last year and 71% 5-year average. Corn rated in good to excellent condition was 59% in the north, 54% in central, and 68% in the south. Soybeans were 80% harvested compared to 81% last year and 80% 5-year average. Winter wheat was 81% planted compared to 81% last year and 83% 5-year average. Winter wheat rated in good to excellent condition was 75% in the north, 74% in central, and 65% in the south. Other activities for the week included drying and hauling grain to elevators, application of lime and manure, and fall tillage. This is Janice Pressberry reporting.
In today's agricultural news, Sam Clovis, the nominee to be USDA's chief scientist, has been a fully cooperative witness in the Senate Intelligence Committee's investigation of Russian interference in the 2016 election, or so says Senate Agriculture Chairman Pat Roberts. Roberts, whose committee has been vetting Clovis for months, spoke to ProAg's Catherine Beaudrew hours after Clovis, a former co-chair and policy advisor to President Donald Trump's campaign, was linked by news reports to the Russia question in at least two new instances. The reports were based on documents unsealed Monday as former campaign manager Paul Manafort was indicted along with campaign advisor Rick Gates. The papers also showed that another campaign advisor, George Papadopoulos, had previously pleaded guilty to lying to federal agents. Clovis, who is now USDA's liaison to the White House, is the nominee for Undersecretary for Research, Education, and Economics at the United States Department of Agriculture. Well, let's stay in Washington, D.C., but we'll switch to the North American Trade Agreement after the last four rounds of NAFTA talks. The U.S. agricultural industry is worried that the Trump administration is positioning itself to withdraw from the trade deal. That, according to the American Soybean Association, the negotiations don't seem to be headed toward a NAFTA 2.0, the industry group said, noting that the U.S. Trade Representative's proposals were not palatable to the U.S. North American counterparts, nor to the U.S. agricultural industry and other sectors. If the Trump administration is not renegotiating in good faith toward a trade deal all parties can agree upon, and keeping NAFTA as it stands now is not an option, as Trump has said, then the only path forward is pulling out, thinks the ASA. And finally today, some news on E15. Growth Energy says that in just 5 months, American drivers have surpassed another 1 billion miles on E15, bringing the total miles driven across the United States to 2 billion. This comes on the heels of Growth Energy's recent announcement that more than 1,000 stations across the country are currently offering E15 to consumers. Growth Energy CEO Emily Scorr says the milestone cements the fact that drivers have embraced E15 fuels. E15 is approved for use in all vehicles 2001 and newer. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. I'm Todd Gleason. The University of Illinois is updating its farmland leasing policies. U of I farms have been cash rented in an open bid process since the middle of the last decade. The dean of the College of ACES, Kim Kidwell, says that process has been updated to better reflect the working relationships Illinois has with farmers,
which is more geared towards a best management approach that looks at fair market value, looks at the history of the tenant in conservation, sustainability, productivity, education level, access to high-tech equipment, modern technology. It really does look at a more holistic view of the farming operation instead of simply profit.
Well, this change is consistent with how the University of Illinois Foundation leases its farmland. It's a step the dean of the Ag College hopes will bring greater understanding to the land leasing process and how gifts of land to the university work, from tenant lease legacies to whether or not the land can be sold or should be kept in perpetuity. Kim Kidwell says it is also important to make sure those making gifts of land know how the funding is used.
One of my important initiatives is to utilize some of the new gifts that we hope to receive in farmland to operate our farms on campus, to use some of the funding that we get off those leases to create pools for operations and infrastructure updates on our own farms, because we don't have a lot of resources to do that and we have a lot of need.
Kidwell calls it the farmers for farmers approach. As for implementing the new land lease, she says it will be important to monitor the success of each lease.
As long as people are doing a good job and taking good care of the land and they're following the frame of the lease, there's no need to renegotiate it.
The end goal, as long as the tenant and the U of I are happy, is not to renegotiate the lease every year or even every 3 years, but rather to form a long-term commitment with the tenant to the farm. This is the closing market report for Tuesday afternoon. Buy your tickets for the Farm Assets Conference right now online, 800-898-1065, willag.org. All the details at farmassetsconference.com. Don Day of Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming is now here to take a look at the weather forecast for the United States. The Corn Belt in particular will drop down to Brazil and Argentina, I think, too. But let's start, Don, in the Corn Belt and work our way from west to east. They're still lagging a bit in corn harvest out in the western parts of the Corn Belt, though I take it they'll have an opportunity to get caught up. What do you see over the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, in fact, I think things are looking really favorable for folks to get caught up, as there's nothing really bad taking aim on the western Corn Belt, or really most of the Corn Belt here through this week and into next week. All the bad weather going to be locked up into the Pacific Northwest, western Canada. Good news for California. Later this week, this weekend, and next week, they're going to get wet, We will see some fluctuating temperatures across Midwest and Corn Belt, and there will be some precipitation with every time we get a little bit of a cool front coming, but nothing that looks excessively heavy. So no real system to produce widespread muddy or soggy fields. I think some good wrap-up weather for harvest coming.
Yeah, so speaking of that, in the eastern Corn Belt, I think Michigan, parts of Ohio, some of the parts of Indiana have been awfully wet. Have they dried out enough? Have evaporation rates been good enough? And will they be able to move?
The weather outlook there is not quite as good. There's going to be a little bit higher chance for precipitation, but they are going to be warmer. And so the opportunity for some evaporation to take place certainly helps. But when you look at the number of hours in the day now, we're down to about 10 hours a day of daylight. And so that really cuts into your opportunity to get things dried out quickly. But at the same time, it certainly isn't going to be as wet as it's been in those areas.
In South America, the Brazilians are still trying to put a bean crop in the ground, though I've made note that they're not really lagging behind at this point. What does the weather forecast tell you about Mato Grosso?
A little more wet. They got a little more wet last week, and it looks like that area is nothing excessively wet. But at the same time, there may be a few planting delays, maybe a few muddy fields in a few areas. At the same time, though, good precipitation to get in the ground to get their crop started.
Hey, thanks so much, Don.
Thank you.
That's Don Day. He's with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. He joins us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. That wraps up our time together. Do go visit our website, willag.org. While you're there, you can pick up your tickets to the Farm Assets Conference. I talked to Gary Schnittke today about the PCM, or Precision Conservation Management Program, that he's been studying. And some of the results, we'll hear some of that later in the week, but he'll be making a presentation at the Farm Assets Conference in November, the Tuesday prior to Thanksgiving, on that particular topic, looking at no-till and cover crops and when nitrogen applications are made and what kind of economics go along with side dressing versus anhydrous ammonia in the fall, in-serve applications, cover crops and whether they do or don't pay, no-till and how economical that happens to be. And you can find all those details out by buying your ticket to the Farm Assets Conference, and we'll have a whole bunch of our regular analysts there too. The cost is just $35. Do that online at willag.org.